I'm going to share today really, really, really help you, but you're going to have to be a doer of the word, not a hearer. One of the biggest problems, I think, is we just don't do. We want to hear something new, but we don't want to do. And then when we do the wrong things. There's a doing in the spirit, and there's a doing in the flesh. If you're not careful, the enemy will take your life and employ it in the flesh. Even things of the Lord, you can get all busy in the flesh and not be productive in the spirit. What God wants us to do is grow, develop, mature in the things of the spirit where we can bear the fruit that remains. Amen. The fruit that remains. To do that, we have to be trained. We have to be equipped. We have to be willing to learn, willing to do things another way. Amen. I mean, if your way's not working, you have to change the highway. Amen. You got to get on the highway of Zion. Glory to God. Blessed are those in whose hearts the highway of Zion. These all will appear before God. Blessed be the name. So turn your Bibles to Philemon. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. You all have the Holy Ghost. But to have his little presence with you, there's a way to get his presence with you and to get his counsel with you. The Holy Spirit is so multifaceted in all that he does. I mean, it's going to take probably 3-4 teachings just to go through all that he does. Some things you might be aware of and some things you might not be aware of. But whatever you're aware of, you can have. I mean, you can go anywhere from him being with you, dwelling in you, to the operations of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. All of this is major operations of the Holy Spirit, from demonstrator to teacher to helper to guide to our legal counselor. All of these are operations, but to get him to do that, just because you baptize spirit-filled, tongue-talking, mountain-moving, devil-stomping, I get all that. Just because you have him doesn't mean that that aspect of him will show up into your life. You have to become aware of what he does and become aware of his presence. And the more aware of his presence and aware of his functions, the more you practice awareness, you'll start seeing those functions manifest into your life. Amen. You'll start seeing him, and there's so many things that he does. You can spend plenty of time becoming aware, but you're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. So let's look at this scripture, Philemon chapter 1. Listen to this, the communication of your faith. Faith communicates. Faith is not silent. Faith is never silent. Say, faith communicates. If you're not communicating, you're not in faith. Faith is not silent. Faith will never show up in silence. It has to communicate. It's a part of communication. Faith communicates. It becomes effective. There's ineffective faith and there's effective faith. Amen. For your faith to become effective, you're going to have to communicate. Amen. Learn the communication of faith, and then it becomes effective. And the way it's going to become effective, he tells you, by the acknowledging, say acknowledging, of every good thing that's in you. Because it says, acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. In me lieth no good thing. Well, amen. You got to shift your mentality. By the way, that scripture, in me lieth no good thing. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. That's not talking about you. Amen. We did this back in the 90s. We taught the whole book of Romans through and proved that that was not speaking about you as a believer. It was talking about you as the old man. Amen. The Bible says you're a new creation. That's talking about you. You can't be a sinner saved by grace and a new creation at the same time. You were a sinner. You're saved by grace. Now you're a new creation. And within that creation, the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Christ dwelleth within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. There's a lot of things that dwell in you. But you can be born again and not know what dwells in you. More importantly, you can know it with your head, but until you start becoming aware of what's dwelling in you, the reality of that will not show up on a consistent and continual basis. You might have your gift, it'll show up, but you can have a whole lot more show up just because you want to if you begin practicing awareness of your faith. Amen? Faith communicates. Now, we've talked about this before, then I'm going to shift into the message. Now, faith communicates by acknowledging. So if I acknowledge Anna, I have to be looking at her with my eyes. Like, this is not really proper acknowledgement to have my back turned to you and having a conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody turn their back to you? It's not really a communication if someone's got their back turned to you. So acknowledgement requires focus, say focus, attention. And it requires words. Those two major facets, focus, attention, and words, those two are the principal operations of faith. And that's how faith communicates through the acknowledging. Now, it's very unusual. I'm going to tell you right now, when the Holy Spirit started having me do this in the beginning, the first thing, believe it or not, he had me acknowledge was the door. I always acknowledge God this way because God was always up to me. Well, we know he's up. Until I had this vision one time of a guy standing on the North Pole and one standing on the South Pole, and both of them had their hands raised to God. And the Lord said, which way's up? And then I saw one on the east and the west. He said, it's all about operation, dimension, jurisdictional transfer. God is up, of course, because gravity and things, but God is up, but God is also in. So when he first started me having go within, that was very unusual for me. I'll tell you right now, because I wasn't accustomed to acknowledging anything in here. I was always seeing God here, always worshiping him. But when he told me to go this way, I realized why he did it. He goes, as long as you're doing this, I'm 1,000 miles away. But when you start doing this within, I'm with you. And he goes, I want you to close the gap. Because as long as you think I'm 1,000 miles away, way up there in heaven, he goes, then that gap is always going to be there with your faith. But when you realize that God is with you, you're the temple of the living God. And we started learning how to connect with the kingdom within, the kingdom of God's within, how to connect to Christ, Father dwelling in you, Christ dwelling in you, the Word dwelling in you, the kingdom dwelling in you, Holy Spirit dwelling in you, your promises dwelling, how to connect. When you did that, you bridged that gap. And when you bridge that gap, God's right here. He's real close to you. And all of a sudden, it was just the living doorway. You move in and bam. Made things a lot easier. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about acknowledging. Go to John 14. And I want to try maybe over the next couple of weeks to examine the multiple operations of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me very carefully. Whatever you can see, you can acknowledge. If you don't see it, you can't acknowledge it. If you don't know it belongs to you, if you don't accept that it belongs to you, if you do not accept that the Holy Spirit is the seven spirits of God with the seven eyes of omniscience, and there's an operation of the seven eyes of omniscience, that you can have that kind of omniscience like Solomon had. If you understand you can have that, you can start becoming aware of it. If you don't believe that that's yours, that's just an operation you're not going to have. But what we want to do is start out with foundational things, and then we're going to ramp up into the major operations of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to cover every part. Amen. Every part. You know, somebody can get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and never feel his presence. Or very rarely feel his presence. Another person get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, they feel it every day. It's all what you're giving your attention to. And it's a necessity in the time and the day we live in to have the Holy Spirit present in our life and understand he is our partner. Amen? And understand he is with us. To bridge that gap to understand you're not alone. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you're not alone. When you go into the marketplace, you're not alone. When you launch a business, you're not alone. Now, I know, say, well, God's with me. Yes, he's helping me. But I'm talking about ever-present kind of operation. The reality of him being ever-present with you. It's a difference between saying, God's with me out there. Yes, God, come and bless me. God's ever-present with me. I feel him with me. When you've got him on your life like that, things will happen for good in your life. Amen? Now, let's look at this. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's a very familiar verse, but I'm seeing some amazing things in this. He says, and I will pray the Father, And he'll give you another comforter. Say comforter. Now he's speaking of the Holy Spirit there. And he may abide with you. Say abide with you forever. Now, that is mostly common knowledge that the Holy Spirit's with us. But to abide with you, you have to remember your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He abides with you in presence. He abides with you in glory. He abides with you in wisdom. He abides with you tangibly. What I want to teach you how to do is get him into a tangible state into your life. To do that, you're going to have to practice communicating your faith. Amen. Now, I want to first look at this word comforter, what it means, because I want you to know there's so many roles of the Holy Spirit. And I know him in so many areas, but there's an area I'm really working on right now called the Holy Spirit, the demonstrator. I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, if you can be with me in Revelation, you can be with me to teach me. You've taught me that you're my lawyer and my comforter, and you can be with me in demonstration too. Sometimes you're going to have to, listen to me very carefully, you're going to have to break out of what is familiar. Because some of you got a familiar operation with the Holy Spirit, but there's so many more operations. But what happens when you get a familiar operation of the Holy Spirit, it's like a landing pad. You keep going back to it. It's your safety zone. You go back to your safety zone, but you don't get out there and explore the other operations of the Holy Spirit. Some people are very fluent in certain operations of the Holy Spirit, but they don't touch other areas. That's what he's doing with me. He goes, you go back in your safety zone, come out. Because I go to the revelation, I can tell you what, I can sit down in my chair in my prayer closet, and in 30 minutes, revelation will start flowing. The entire right hand of God got downloaded to me in one chair in my prayer closet. I have an open heaven of revelation. If any one of you sat in that chair for over an hour, I promise you revelation would just start flowing. That's just the way that is. But that's my safety zone. That's what's familiar. But he's telling me I want you to move out of that into some new uncharted territory. Amen. So listen to the word comforter. It means parakletos. It's where they get the word paralegal. He's an intercessor. Do you know your Holy Spirit? He's an advocate. Listen to what Thayer says. He's summoned to call to one side. He's been summoned by heaven and called to your side. Now, that's all good in knowledge, but we need that in experience. We need an experience of him being by our side, not just the knowledge he's there. What we want to do is bridge that gap to where we begin feeling his tangible presence with us, experiencing the tangible operations that he brings with him. Amen. One who pleads another's cause before a judge, he's constantly pleading your cause. He'll help you in your prayer life to the Father. Isn't that amazing? God sends God to help you pray to God. When you know not how to pray for as you ought, the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you. He'll help you, but you're going to have to get to know him to get that kind of help. And sometimes you're going to have to break out of your old way of praying and let him help you. But to do that, you're going to have that tangible understanding, experience, him being with you. And communication, we're going to draw him out of knowledge and into experience. That's what acknowledging will do for you. But we have to do that. You got to know what his role is first. We see it in the word, then we begin to acknowledge it. Amen. Okay, so we see he pleads our cause. He's a counsel for our defense. He's a legal assistant. He's an advocate. I met him like that. In my prayer closet, the Spirit of the Lord came in almost audibly. The presence of the Lord was the most amazing experience ever. I was sitting in my chair, and the presence of the Lord came right down in front of me in a powerful way, and then the presence of the Lord came behind me. I was sandwiched between two beings, and the one in front of me said, I want, and with his voice like only God can speak, I want to introduce you to the heavenly lawyer. I remember he did that, and the heavenly lawyer showed up behind me, this presence showed up behind me. And from that place, the Holy Spirit began to teach me spiritual constitution. That's how that whole Siri was born, and all those constitutions in our prayer room, and every constitution we made thus far was all born out of that experience. He taught me, he said, before you pray, and what you've been called in your life to represent, you're going to have to establish precedent. He taught me how to do it, and he started showing me how to formulate them, and we did it. Amen. We taught a whole series on it. But all that came out of that. That was part of his representation as the heavenly lawyer. He'll get in there with you. Amen. Now, what I want to focus on strongly today are two scriptures here. He says he'll abide with you forever. Now, you might think you're alone in a trial, but you're not alone. But I want to teach you how to get him to come forth in the middle of your trial. Intangible presence, intangible operation to help you. Amen. Now, look at verse 17. Even the spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, for he dwelleth what? With you. He dwelleth with you, and he abideth with you, and he shall what? Be in you. Now notice this next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. Now, the Lord's telling them, I'm leaving. The whole context of it, because I am leaving, but I am not going to leave you comfortless. And that word comfortless, those of you know this, means orphan. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Think about that for a minute. He's seeing them introduced to a brand new kingdom. We're little children introduced to a kingdom that's far beyond the operations of this world system, that's full of mysteries, it's full of operations, it's going to require training, it's going to require equipping. He says, I'm not going to leave you to yourself, fatherless, without a parent. Think about it as a child. What you would do without a parent, how far would you get? He is there. Think about this as well. How far would you make it as a child without your parent being visible in your life, tangible in your life? If you 10 years old or 8 years old and saw your parents once every 6 months, you'd be in pretty bad shape. Somebody'd have to come and find you. The Holy Spirit was not designed to fellowship with once every 6 months. He wasn't designed for one encounter here and one encounter there. He was designed to be with you on a daily basis. And this is what you have to know, because faith is the only thing that's going to bridge that gap. And the understanding he was designed and given to you, just like the Lord was given to those disciples, he's been given to us like that. He wants to be with us. He's in us. He's with us. And he dwelleth forever. And we have not been left comfortless. Say, I am not fatherless. I don't have to do it myself. Sometimes you A-type personalities have got to let go of the control. Sometimes you flesh-type personalities have got to let go of the control. With the Holy Spirit, we have to let go for him to come in. That's one of the hardest things ever, is to let go. How many of you have ever been exercising letting go? How many of you are being exercised right now and letting go? You got to let go, because he's not going to compete. You need to need him. Amen. Just like there's a dependency with Christ, there must be a dependency upon the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Once that dependency begins to forge into form and to realize, is you cannot fulfill the will of God without him. The word of the Lord in Zerubbabel say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He's going to bring us to that place. There's certain things in our life we can do, and there's certain things we cannot. One of the things most of us cannot do is promote. Only the Holy Spirit's going to be able to promote us. He alone holds the keys to our promotion, because he knows what we need to be promoted with. He knows what's in the way. He knows how to get you where you are, to where you're going. He knows how to get you out of that trap that you've been in or that wilderness you've been in. He knows how to get you out and bring you in. Amen. He knows how to keep you in the high places. He knows how to uphold you. But to do that, we have to have a dependency, and we have to feel, understand, and know His presence on a daily basis. I'm not talking about worshiping the Lord, have a little bit of presence. I'm talking about moving into a deeper and more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, to do that, because a lot of people will do the Holy Spirit, I want you. They read Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and you wake up, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, Good Morning, and you're waiting on Him to fall. I said, good morning! Good morning, good morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Then you put on a worship tape and you get the worship going, oh, good morning, Holy Spirit. And you feel His presence. He's a lot more than just the presence. What I want to teach you is how to get that gap bridged. So when you do wake up and say, good morning, He's there. Amen. The first thing you have to know is, what does the Scripture say? Because He's going to come in accordance with what the Scripture says and according to your faith. He says He will not leave you as an orphan. You will not be left fatherless. So you have a right to wake up in the morning. I am not left fatherless. I cannot fulfill this day without a parental guide. You are my parental guide, Holy Spirit. I have a right to hear you. I have a right to the counsel. I have a right, and you will never leave me. You dwelleth with me forever. You abideth with me. I like to say it like this: you dwelleth in me forever. You abideth with me. Amen. Now, when you start doing that and start practicing the awareness of the functions of the Holy Spirit, you might have to practice it for a while, but all of a sudden you're going to start feeling His presence come around you. You're going to feel His presence on the inside of you. You're going to feel Him crown you, rest upon you. He's in you, He surrounds you, and He overshadows you. The Holy Spirit's omnipresence. I want to get into some of His omnipresent operations. Holy Spirit has a way to move you. Like Paul said, I was present with you in spirit. I was in one city, but I was present with you in another place. Joying, beholding your order through omniscience. He wasn't even there in body, but He knew everything that was going on. It's a little too heavy for me. Okay, well, let's just get back to the Holy Spirit then dwelling with you. He's got a lot of operations, a lot of functions. Amen? So what I do in the practicing of my faith and acknowledging of our faith is I begin to... What does it say? Acknowledge every good thing that's what? Within. So the Holy Spirit's what? He's within. So it's like that. And I start acknowledging the Holy Spirit that dwelleth within. He abideth with us. He dwelleth in us. So when I do this, now it's very important. I don't allow myself to be out here. I have to be here through acknowledgement. And I speak those words, but I'm focused. I'm focused right in here. Especially, you did not leave me as an orphan. You did not leave me fatherless. I'm not fatherless today. I'm not without a guide today. A child needs his parental influence every single day. A little child can't make it through a day without parental influence. That's why He said, I'm not going to leave you parentless. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. So to get that working, you start acknowledging that you didn't leave me. Now, a lot of times, sometimes when you first start, you won't feel anything. But as you keep doing it and stay focused, and if your mind drifts, bring it back. Say, bring it back. You did not leave me. I am not alone today. Everyone say, I'm not alone. I'm not without a parent. You're my parental influence. You're my wisdom, my guide, my helper, my comforter. You represent me. You're with me. You abideth with me forever. You dwelleth with me forever. And I'll tell you, I'll share something with you. In the past, when we were in service and the presence of God wasn't flowing the way I wanted it to, I'd start getting agitated. A lot of preachers do that because the anointing's not there. They start getting agitated because they need the anointing to be with them. But you see, you get too much agitation, it'll lead to control, and then all kinds of stuff will happen. But now what I do when the presence of God is not where I want it to be, or when you walk in here and you play your first song and three people are in the service and nobody's even showed up yet, 10 o'clock, it's 5 after 10 and three people are here. Now, that doesn't bother you, but when you're the one at the helm, it bothers you. You're thinking, where is everybody at? So you want to get in the flesh. But what I do is I just close all that off. Now, I don't allow that exterior influence to affect me anymore. Now, you can do that at work, whatever. You get into your marketplace and something's going wrong and already there. And you can get agitated, or you can just move into that place. Or you get a report, or your finances are not showed, and you got a bill that's due, and all the pressure's coming on you. And what I do, I just close in and start becoming aware. Holy Spirit, you dwelleth with me. And sometimes it's a battle because you're not feeling anything but what your circumstance is dictating. But all of a sudden, he breaks in. And when he does, he covers you. He clothes you in glory. He overshadows you. He fills you. And all of a sudden, it's the kingdom of God now. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm in a bubble of righteousness, peace, and joy. And all this stuff out here doesn't affect me anymore. That's the benefit of doing what I'm talking to you about. The acknowledging of the Holy Spirit. The better you get, the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. The more you do it, the more effective you're going to be. You're going to bridge that time, and it's going to be effective when you're in the midst of a circumstance and the pressure's there, and you really need Him to be there with you. And you don't feel anything. You feel alone. How many of you have been in a circumstance and you feel alone? That's the time you need to, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not without parental influence. You're here to help me. You're here to represent. You're here to be with me. I acknowledge you dwelleth. And I've got my focus here because I'm acknowledging you. But once you get really proficient, that you'll get locked in. When you get locked in, nothing will affect you out here. It won't be able to pull you out. When you get locked in, then you'll feel Him surround you. You'll get the tangible. And when you get the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, He becomes tangible not only in your heart, but in the atmosphere. You just shifted the atmosphere that was contrary to you. You've now shifted it. You didn't, He did. Because when He comes in, He shifts the atmosphere. Amen? And when He shifts the atmosphere, it's glorious now. Because you're not feeling the pressure out there now. You have Him and He is surrounding you. That's what Abraham meant. He's my exceeding great and precious shield. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. All that comes with just a little bit of effort. Practicing awareness. But what happens? Someone starts practicing awareness and nothing happens. They drift off. They get discouraged and they quit. And what happens? Your faith has not brought that into reality yet. You got to bring Him into reality. Here's the principle of the kingdom of God. What you acknowledge will become a reality. If you don't acknowledge it, it withers away. That's why if somebody can be on fire for God, and they get cut off by an offense or something, and all of a sudden they stop feeding, and they start like this, backing up, backing up, backing up. You look at that person, and 6 months later, there's nothing there. They stopped and turned around. That's why it says cleave to the Lord. You got to cleave. Now, the Holy Spirit's a lot of things. Now, let me give you one more. How about Him being the governors of the waters? He's the governor of the waters. The Bible says in you is a fountain. Jesus says the waters I'll give you is a fountain of water. It's a wellspring of water. The well bubble up, flowing up continuously. And then in chapter 7, He goes, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of what? Notice where He says to drink. Do you notice this? He says, let him come unto me and drink. We're always thinking it's out there somewhere or in this mysterious realm. It's right here. He says, for out of his innermost being will flow rivers. When Jesus says to come and drink, He's thinking of drinking of rivers. We're thinking of just give me a little cup. He's thinking rivers. Out of my innermost being floweth what? Rivers. And it says, this spake of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Christ, is the waters. He showed unto me a pure river water of life flowing out of the throne of the Father, flowing out of the Lamb. It's the Holy Spirit's the governor of those waters. He's the governor of the waters. He's the one that takes the water and turns it into wine. He's the one that takes the water and fills. He's the one that distributes the kingdom of God to you. Well, the Bible says the love of God is what? Shed abroad into your heart by the Holy Ghost. Even that scripture Pastor Chuck was talking about, the dunamis power. Father, we pray according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened with all dunamis power by your Spirit into my inner man. See, the Holy Spirit, the agency of transference. Now, to get him to start transferring the kingdom, you got to acknowledge him. Some of us are dried up wells because we don't acknowledge the fact he's the governor of the water. We don't acknowledge him. He is the governor of the water. He's the agent of transference. And the more that he's upon our life, the more it's getting transferred to us. The fuller we're going to be. They're all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm learning to preach with him. It's so wonderful. Because when I'm preaching with him, I don't even care what's going on out here. But when I got the Holy Ghost, I don't even see it. When the Holy Ghost is on me, you're all smiling. When the Holy Ghost is on me, everybody in here loves me. When the Holy Ghost is on me, everybody loves me. Even if someone gets up and walks out, they love me. When you get in a difficult situation, you don't have to face that alone. But that's not the time to start acknowledging him right there. You got to have that connection already. And then when you start acknowledging him, he's there with you and you walk in there clothed with the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to face difficult situations anymore on my own. I'm not going to face difficult people anymore on my own. I have him with me. Amen. I can have him with me. The dependency is getting more and more because I love having him with me. I love his presence surrounding me. I like being integrated into his atmosphere because it's not just here, it's around me. So when I pray, now listen to me very carefully before I close here. When I start acknowledging, I acknowledge you dwelleth with me, you dwelleth in me. So I'm seeing here, but you abideth with me. I get the awareness that he's around me. Now, if I'm in my prayer closet, I have the awareness that I'm in a temple and he's filling the temple with glory. It's the most amazing thing because as I started becoming aware, I want it not just in me, I want it around me. I want the glory around me. I want the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's on a tabernacle, his glory is around the tabernacle. It's not just concealed inside. He's atmospheric. You got to get his atmosphere into your situation. When he does, he shifts you. You cannot be depressed all day long with the Holy Spirit on you. You're not going to live depressed. You're going to live in victory. So I want the awareness of him in me and the awareness of him around me and the awareness of him resting upon me. Amen. When I do that around me, I feel and get that sensation or the awareness. Like if I close my eyes, I'm aware I'm inside a room, but I'm aware of the Shekinah glory that's filling it. It's just amazing when that starts happening. He'll come and fill the room up with his fragrance, with his aroma and his presence. And there's this atmospheric presence all around. I love it. Amen. You can do that. I would advise you to start with a small room. Get that filled up and then start working bigger rooms. Amen. Glory to God. Get in a little bitty closet and feel the awareness of that closet being filled with the glory. Then start with a bigger room. It's all about faith. It's all about faith. It's where your faith is. Because eventually we're gonna become aware that he's resting upon our whole city. We become aware that he's resting, and all of us can become aware that he's resting in here, and you're gonna walk in and the glory will be here. Because you carry it in. Somebody give him glory. I am not alone. Say, I am not alone. I am not an orphan, and I don't have to handle a situation without my parental influence of the Holy Spirit. He is there to help me. I don't have to handle situations anymore alone. He is there. I'm learning. This is where you start right here. Don't start in the big stuff like omnipresence or omniscience. Start right here. Start with his presence. If you can get his presence, you're going to start getting all the things that he does for you. Because he's got a lot that he does. I'm going to give you one more before we close. Amen. Go to John 16. I love this verse. He just started getting me into this really heavily. John 16. Now, I've been practicing this one a lot. Now, listen, I really encourage you to practice this one. This is in him. He just started really, really, really showing me this particular scripture. And it's John 16. This is the one I love because I'm seeing this almost every single service work. It'll change the way you fellowship with God. He said, verse 14, he shall glorify me. Say, he shall glorify me. One of the major components, operations of the Holy Spirit is he's been sent to glorify the Lord Jesus. The Lord was sent to glorify the Father. They all have their roles. So the Holy Spirit, in glorifying the Lord, he does it in many ways, but in particularly, and I'm closing with this, in particularly during times of worship, in times of worship, corporate worship, individual worship, I don't go worshiping the Father. I don't go worshiping the Lord anymore until I first get the Holy Spirit with me. I invite him in. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Because he, when his presence comes in, it will elevate the worship from here to here. He will bring the worship through the roof. How many of you ever been in a corporate service and all of a sudden it shifts? The Holy Ghost comes in and everything just goes. And the glory of the Lord fills the building. That's what he's doing. He's coming in and glorifying the Lord in our midst. And when he does that, it elevates our worship. It elevates corporate worship. It elevates the atmosphere that we're in. That's what he does. He magnifies the Lord. He glorifies the Lord. That's why you don't worship him in this dispensation. He's not going to receive it because he has been sent on assignment from the Lord to magnify all that's the Lord's. But in particularly in the arena of worship, you'll feel it sometime. We'll worship and we'll be in here doing the videos and all of a sudden, it comes in. Somebody said, oh, that was such a good song. It was really the Holy Spirit came on it. When it did, it elevated. Because I want to tell them, I just played that song 10 times and nothing happened. But then he came in on that one. But what you don't know is we're doing this. Our intercessors are doing this. Holy Spirit, you've come to dwell in us, but you're with us. Come and magnify the Lord with us. Let us exalt his name together. Come, Holy Spirit, let us exalt his name together. Inviting him to come in the midst of the worship so he can elevate it far beyond who we are and where we are. Isn't that glorious? If we begin to practice that as a body, if we begin and it's not where it needs to be, and everybody's just sitting there looking around, okay, when's he going to show up, you know? Oh. But instead, we're all like this. If I walk in here and I see everybody like this, then I know. We're learning. Amen. Because we can shift corporately when we're all like this in one accord. Oh, the Spirit, you dwelleth with us. Come, let us magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Come and glorify the Lord with us. Because when we get him in our midst, boy, if worship leaders would learn this, the ministries are going to go through the roof. Because he has got an element of worship that we just don't have. And he will fill the atmosphere with the fragrance of Christ. Isn't that glorious? Let's give God glory. Praise God! These are some of his operations. We're going to be examining a lot more. But the more you know, the more you're aware of, the more it'll work on your behalf. Amen? So we're going to be looking at that over the next couple of Sundays, the different operations of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.